honest information about living a healthy lifestyle on RadioMD.com. It's time for Naturally Savvy with natural visionary Andrea Donsky and health journalist Lisa Davis.
Hi, I'm Lisa Davis. Andrea is off today, and joining us once again is a fantastic Judith Orloff, MD. She's a psychiatrist, intuitive healer, New York Times bestselling author. Her latest national bestseller is The Ecstasy of Surrender, 12 Surprising Ways Letting Go Can Empower Your Life. Today, we're going to be talking about awakening your sexual power. Hello, Dr. Orloff. Welcome back.
Oh, thank you.
I love this topic and I love your book. And I think it is so important to be open and honest and talk about sexuality. So I'd love to jump right in. There's four building blocks you talk about for what you call conscious sexuality. The first one is the erotic power of common values. But before we jump into that, what do you mean by conscious sexuality?
Well, conscious sexuality is being aware of how you are as a sexual being. As you walk down the street, being aware of your body and surrendering to your body and not just living up in your head like so many people do, or just rushing around and not being aware you even have a body. So it's about just being aware of how the wind feels on your face or the beautiful flowers, just as much as it is being aware of how you interrelate with your partner or yourself. You know, just an awareness is part of being human.
I love that. Well, the erotic power of common values. Talk to us about this.
Well, it's really a turn on when you can have common values with your partner and you're not afraid that you're not relating. So if you have common values such as sexuality is more than just mechanical release. You know, sexuality is a way to connect with your body and with spirit. You know, if you believe in that or a higher power, that it's a way to really come together via the heart. It's very different than just mechanical sex. And so that kind of common value is what increases your pleasure and enhances your awareness of sexuality. A lot of people are afraid of sexuality. You know, number one is because they don't have satisfying sex lives or never have learned to really open it gently in themselves. And so part of what I talk about in The Ecstasy of Surrender is how to begin from step one, to really look at your sexuality in a different way so it's not scary, and opening up to your natural sensuality and having common values with a partner makes it a lot easier.
Oh, I definitely agree. The second is passionate communication. And this is something that I'm really passionate, no pun intended, about. And I've been more communicative with my husband. And let me tell you, it's really paid off. He actually ordered me lingerie the other day for the first time. And I was like, this is so cool. I'm going to start talking more.
Yes, definitely. Definitely start talking more, because when you don't communicate in general or about sexuality, then passion dies. And then you just kind of live a practical life with a partner. And I've seen so many of my patients where, you know, they wake up in bed and don't even hug or don't even, you know, just acknowledge each other as physical beings or cuddle, because they've gotten into just a habit of getting up and working, basically. And so, you know, it's very important to communicate your needs with a partner, and how you do that is key. You don't do it critically. You don't do it, you know, out of fear, but little by little, you communicate what your needs are. And, you know, a lot of my patients, when I work with them on this, are afraid to do it because they're afraid they're going to insult their partner, you know, or put down their partner. And it's not like that. If you can, you know, just say, I love being touched in this way, if you phrase it in the positive, as opposed to, for 20 years, you've never touched me in the right way. What's wrong with you? You know, that kind of thing.
So, exactly. And your partner saying, well, you never told me, so how was I supposed to know, right? It's a big part of it is that you think they can read your mind, but it doesn't work that way.
Right. And giving your partner a lot of positive feedback, or, you know, to use the phrase, it turns me on so much when I'm able to talk to you about this. If your partner wants you to be happy, your partner wants you to be turned on. That's the goal. And so if you use language that lets him or her know that it turns me on when, and then put in, you know, whatever your need is, that really helps in terms of how to communicate.
And this is where the erotic power of common values, I think, makes so much sense. Because what if you're into things that are a little more, as people would, I'm using air quotes, like are kinky or something, you need to really feel comfortable saying to your partner, I'd like to try this, or we've never done that. And hopefully they'll be open to, you know, at least talking to you about it, if not doing it.
Right, exactly. Or not, you know, because, yes. You know, a lot of times, you know, one partner will have one kinky need and the other doesn't get into it. So, you know, it might not work, but some of it might work. So it's just play and experimentation. But surrendering to your own sensuality and your own sensual self is key, and opening up the conversation. As I, you know, I am a psychiatrist in Los Angeles. I have a lot of patients who are very high-powered people who are busy and working, and they don't have a lot of time for sex. You know, and sexuality has kind of slipped in the background because they're so busy. Both partners are very, very busy. And I think that affects your health and well-being. Sexuality keeps you young. It keeps you vibrant. It gets that prana energy they talk about in yoga going. And so I really encourage everyone to, you know, even if they have no sex life now, even if, you know, you kind of put it on the back burner, you can reawaken it. And it's so important for your health, and it's an anti-aging technique.
Ooh, I like that. Well, let's go to number three, making love with spirit.
Yeah. Well, you know, in the book, The Ecstasy of Surrender, this is the ultimate of surrender, where you see your partner as a divine being. And I'm not kidding about this. You know, really seeing your partner, the holiness in him or her, the beauty, the light, not just the person who doesn't pick up his clothes or leaves the coffee cup on the counter. You know, not even that person. You know, seeing that person as a divine being who you love and you care for and you want to be close to, and having that divine spark in you meet the divine spark in him or her, and feeling that and having that be the awareness as you're making love, or just as you're being together. You can have sex without even touching. You know, did you ever see the movie Cocoon, where
yes,
the alien has sex with the human just at a distance, you know, in the swimming pool, by sending this incredible energy to the human? And it was
just
a love exchange that way. And you could do that with your partner in the dining room, or, you know, having breakfast, just sit there and smile at him or her and send them heart energy and love, and just zap them with that. They'll have a really good day. It's a good way to start the day, as opposed to rushing coffee, emails, computers, et cetera.
Oh, I agree. You know, we only have a couple minutes left. Letting go of shame. This is huge. The fourth one.
Yeah. So many people are brought up in religious settings that create shame, or cultural settings where my body isn't beautiful enough. I'm not thin enough. I'm not young enough. Whatever, you know, sex is dirty, whatever the negative thought form that's been instilled in your mind. And so, you know, just very quickly to let go of shame, you know, I suggest, you know, for women and men, if you want to do this, but to just get flowers, you know, just get a bouquet of flowers and name your shame, you know, give the name to the flower and say, I surrender my shame about my body. I surrender my shame about, you know, how I make love. And look at the flower and then throw the flower in a body of water as a way of surrendering that particular shame. You know, it's a ritual rather than a psychological work on the shame.
That is fantastic. As always, Dr. Orloff, it's such a thrill having you here. Tell us all the ways we can find you.
You could find me on www.drjudithorloff.com, and giving a workshop at Esalen Institute this July. And information is on my website in Big Sur, California.
Well, terrific. Well, I want to thank everyone for listening. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter @YourRadioMD and @NaturallySavvy. Have a great day and stay well.